Word of mouth.
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 From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Since 1970, the average age of first-time parents has increased markedly from 21 years old to 25. Plenty of people wait much longer than that to become parents, especially with advances in fertility treatments. Women, in particular, have benefited from an era of freedom, looking to have children in their late 30s, 40s, and occasionally even 50. Joining us to talk about some of the unexpected repercussions of this trend is Judith Shulevitz. She's science editor at The New Republic. Her work has also appeared in Slate and The New Yorker. And she recently wrote in The New Republic about how older parents will upend American society. Judith, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you so much, Virginia. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, upend, there's a lot to dig into here. As you write, older parents have become so common that we can see stroller pushers at any urban park, you know, the ages of them, a little gray at the temples. You found that the age of new parents is widely disparate between ethnicities and regions. Can you unpack some of that data for us?
Yeah, so it really varies by, as you say, ethnicity, region, and also class and education. And race. So, as I say in the piece, the average new mother from Massachusetts was 28. The average new mother from Mississippi was almost 23.
Mm-hmm.
The Asian American first-time mother was 29, and the African American first-time mother was 23. Now, if you're college educated, you're much more likely to have your first child at 30 or older than if you don't have a college degree. So you can really see the difference. It really has to do with what your opportunities are in life. And some people have actually said to me, so what you're really just talking about are the elite. This is only an upper middle class phenomenon and only an upper middle class problem. And I say, no, not at all, because if you want to if you are in the middle class and want to stay in the middle class, or if you're poor and you want to get into the middle class, there are a lot of incentives pushing you to delay having a child. So I don't think this is just a problem for elite women.
You wrote about your own experience seeking fertility treatments when you and your husband decided to have a child, and you did have a baby boy in your late 30s. So that is what led you to start thinking about some of the risks. What did you find out?
Well, so I should say I have two children. I had my daughter.
You did
right
have
after
your daughter afterwards, right?
Right after. But my son was born with a few very, very minor problems. He had some fine motor delay. He was diagnosed with something called sensory integration disorder, which is sort of a very mild neurological condition. And what happened is I spent a lot of time taking him to get occupational therapy, which is done at these little gyms with little chairs. And as I was sitting in those little chairs, watching the parade of children come in and out, children with much more severe problems than my son, I started wondering, a lot of these children had older mothers. Was that just an effect of where I lived, which is New York? Or was it where, you know, women do tend to be older? Or was something really happening? And I discovered that we are now in this country diagnosing many more children with developmental delays. It increased the number of diagnoses increased about 17% between 97 and 2008, so that's in about a decade. Now, maybe that's just more people making diagnoses, more doctors aware of it, and I think that accounts for some of it. But people I talked to said, no, there is an absolute rise. It's not just more people making diagnoses.
Well, in fact, you mentioned seeing people with older mothers, and that has been pointed to in the past of possibly related to some developmental or chromosomal problems. But the big eye-opener for me in this article was how much is related to aging fathers. Tell us about some of the risks
there.
Yeah,
so that's really interesting. That, I think, changes everything. So in the past decade or so, there's been all this work on links between older fathers and schizophrenia, autism, even bipolar disorder, and in general, a spectrum of neurological problems, neurological or neuropsychological problems. And the reason the researchers think this is happening is that sperm is actually much more susceptible to mutations and to having problems even than eggs. And the reason for that is, you know, women have all their follicles that make eggs inside their bodies when they're born, millions of them, and then they die off or get used. Men keep making sperm their whole life long. As they age, there are all sorts of reasons why the sperm might produce mutations or have other problems with them that involve the effects of experience, toxins, stress, and also age. So now we're beginning to find that there's a really interesting strong link between older sperm and altered brain architecture. Mm-hmm. And that could have huge implications. Now, we're talking, again, very small fractions of the population, but it's the possibility that is suggestive, not the absolute numbers.
Of course. And if the trend keeps going onward and old parents become parents older and the amount of fertility treatments becomes more available, things could get sketchier. And in fact, one of the stunning phrases in here that you kept encountering was a natural experiment. We're conducting a natural experiment. What does that mean?
Well, I should back up and say in the world of science, that means something very technical, where there's a sort of historical event that affects a distinct population, and you can study its effects on that population and compare it to a population that hasn't had these effects. That's, I'm using the term a little loosely, and people do tend to use the term loosely, so just so I get that out there. But what I mean is our culture is pushing us to have children at later and later ages, and we're going to start seeing effects, and researchers are starting to study the effects. And the effects are not just, you know, the problems with older fathers and their sperm and the problems with older mothers and their decaying eggs, but also the problems we're seeing with fertility treatment. And that's a whole other realm that I get into where we don't know a lot, but what we do know suggests that we better find out more fast.
I'm speaking with the New Republic science editor, Judith Shulevitz, about how older parenthood it could be actively changing the makeup of a new population of kids. And we're talking about possibly physically, biochemically, socially, I think in many ways, and emotionally. In fact, Judith, you write about women have feeling less pressure to have kids in their 20s has created this sense of, you know, a feminist triumph. Finally, women are in charge of when they want to have children. And the kids in households with older parents tend to grow up wealthier. They tend to have more stable lives. But less talked about are the emotional disadvantages of becoming an older parent. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, from the point of view of a parent, and I will say that this happened to me somewhat, I'm the youngest, and I had my children late. So my parents were quite a bit older than some other grandparents might have been, even older than they were when my older sister had her children, and she didn't wait as long as I did. So I saw the effects firsthand. So you have, on the one hand, there's a phrase, the sandwich generation, and that's usually used to mean people who are dealing with their teenage kids while they're dealing with their aging parents. Well, now, if you're pushing childhood first, you know, your first birth to your late 30s or early 40s, you're dealing with toddlers who are incredibly energy intensive and really older parents who are going to have very intense needs. So it gets sort of more extreme. So that's one effect on you. Another thing that's, I think, worrisome is that a wonderful effect of public health in the 20th century is we now live much longer. So you'd think that we would have we would live longer into these kids' lives. But the actuarial data, the studies have shown that actually, you know, if you have your children when you're older, you're simply going to die earlier in their lives, longevity or not longevity. And if as a whole society is pushing toward, you know, getting married and having children later and using your 20s to, quote-unquote, find yourself and launch your career, then that means you're going to die before your child is really established and you may not meet your grandchildren. And that, I think, changes the world in a certain way.
Given the upsides and the downsides of becoming a parent later in life, what kinds of changes or policies even might balance the equation here?
So I think, I have been accused occasionally of wanting women to have fewer choices. And I say, no, I want women to have more choices. I want women to have the choice to have their children when they're in their 20s if they want to. I think any woman who wants to be taken seriously in her career or profession and who wants to have, you know, the highest lifetime earnings she can have is strongly motivated to wait because in journalism that if I had had children in my late 20s, I would have dropped out. I would have not have been taken seriously or I would have been mommy tracked. And I would have faced a lifetime of reduced earnings. And if I'd had that child in American society, there is very little to help me. There isn't subsidized health care, child care. It's very hard to find child care. It's very expensive. A lot of places don't offer much in the way of maternity leave. A lot of places don't guarantee that if you leave, you come back at the same level you left at. Now, in other countries, they do have some of these policies, and they do seem to be helping. So I think we have to make a more child-friendly society. We have to say to these young women, we're going to help you, and you know, to older women, too. It's unfair that women are paying all the costs of having babies either earlier or later when it's really a human problem, and especially now that we know that men delaying is also problematic, I think men should get in the act and start pressuring government for more of these policies.
Well, we have just 30 seconds left, but I'm wondering about, you know, advice you might give your own kids about when they should become parents.
Oh, it's not a might. It's an arm. I'm already doing it. They're 9 and 10.
And you're advocating?
Well, my son came to me one day and he said, Mom, if I wait as long as you did to have my children, you'll be 80 or just about 80. And I said, that's right. What does that make you, what does that suggest to you? He said, well, I better hurry up. And I said, that's right. You better hurry up. Don't have children when you're before you're 25, but consider having them after 25.
Judith, the grandmother in the making, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Judith Schulwitz is the science editor for The New Republic, and you can find a link to her story on our website, wordofmouthradio.org. And meanwhile, are you an older parent or the child of an older parent? Maybe you'd like to share your experiences with us on our Facebook page or send us a tweet. Coming up, the most Christmassy town in New England cannot warm the black heart of our very own Grinch. We'll get the story when Word of Mouth continues. Oh, 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 oh